Dan Wood, analyst for the Ducks, joins us. Dan, I guess Bruce Boudreau was mentioned after Game 5. He was contemplating some lineup changes. Now, I don't know if that's just to get the media fired up, but will there be any changes for tonight's lineup? And if so, who?
Well, I don't know for sure, Jason. I certainly wouldn't expect any lineup changes on defense. We've seen a little here and there up front. Tomáš Fleischmann went in Game 5 for Emerson Edom. So, you know, either or both of those guys, probably possibilities tonight. But as you know, coaches have a tendency to guard things like that quite a bit this time of year.
Dan, you know what an atmosphere the United Center can be and will be for this game. Hawks will be revved up, 20-plus thousand people will be revved up. What do the Ducks have to do off the hop in this one? To me, I think they just have to be the Ducks and not get into a track meet. How about you?
Well, I would agree with that, Robin, for sure. I mean, the Ducks definitely have known that throughout the series, that they don't want to get into a run-and-gun game with the Blackhawks. You know, I think it's the cliche about being on the road and trying to weather the storm early, because I fully expect the Blackhawks to come out just breathing fire tonight, especially after the way the first period went in Game 5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think the atmosphere will make much difference, because the United Center, as you suggested, I mean, it's loud, it's boisterous, it's a great home ice advantage. But don't forget, the Ducks have been through this in Winnipeg and Calgary, so they're not going to be exposed to anything they haven't seen in, you know, in spades before.
Dan, the fourth goal in the last game, you know, had a lot of people talk about Freddie Anderson. I loved him right afterward. He didn't shy away. Yeah, it wasn't a good goal. You kind of move on. Some, you know, people, I think at times, you know, they start to look for, oh, is Anderson maybe breaking down, or maybe the Blackhawks are getting to him. I'm not sure one goal necessarily does, at least from my vantage point. You've seen him all the time. Has he been consistent, or is there any little cracks, or is it just one goal?
Well, I think Freddie would be the first one to tell you that Game 5 was not his best performance. The first Chicago goal early in the second period, Teuvo Teravainen scored. You know, I think Ducks defenseman Clayton Stoner might have screened Freddie on that one, but I think it's also one Freddie would tell you that he should have had. The Brent Seabrook goal, you could probably argue it either way, and then definitely the tying goal by Jonathan Toews was a fluke. You know, Freddie, the great thing about him is he is so remarkably calm and composed, and you're right, he met it head on. He said he needed to have that shot at that point in time. One thing about Freddie, he has a tendency, when he has had a less than stellar game, he has bounced back really well. So certainly tonight, you know, he's going to be tested, I would expect, early and often, and that's probably good for him, because the way Game 5 went, he didn't see a shot until more than 16 minutes into the game. That's a different kind of challenge for a goalie. I'm not sure Freddie ever really got into that game, and maybe that might partially explain why it wasn't his best game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know what? I mean, winning changes everything. You know that, Dan. If you blow 3-0 and 4-2 leads and you lose the game, it can be devastating. It's easier to bounce back when you get the W and head to Illinois. One guy I want to ask you about, Matt Beleski, is having that sort of Brian Bickle playoff series that I remember from a few years ago. He's been awful good when it's mattered.
Well, he really has, and truthfully, Robin, Matt Beleski has been really good all season. He had a breakout year offensively, was leading the league in game-winning goals mm-hmm. until he got hurt late in the season, and he has 3 game-winning goals in these playoffs, including the huge one in Game 5. So everything has really come together nicely for Matt Beleski this season. He's always been a physical presence. He's always had a great shot. And I think what's happened this year is he's gained some confidence and realized that, you know what, I really can be a really good player in this league. And he has been. And along with, you know, some other members of the team not named Getzlaff, Perry, or Kessler, the Ducks have gotten really good contributions from those secondary scorers, Beleski and Jakob Silfverberg primarily among them. So that's what it takes this time of year.
Dan Wood joins us. Speaking of Bolesky, Dan, and we've seen a lot of other teams, you know, guys strike it rich after a postseason like that. Do you see him re-signing in Anaheim, or is it coming off a season like that, is it just too foolish for him not to test free agency?
Well, I think the Ducks are certainly going to do everything they can within reason to bring Matt Bolesky back. They've developed him, stuck with him through the years, and now he's just reaching the point he is in his career, and certainly the Ducks aren't going to want to let him get away. Having said that, given the year he's had, the playoffs he's had, I wouldn't be surprised if some other teams might make some pretty big-time offers to Matt. So he loves Anaheim. He loves Southern California. I know in an ideal world he'd love to stay with the Ducks, but, you know, when a guy gets to free agency, you never know exactly how it's going to play out.
You've got a better read on Bolesky than we do here, Dan. As honestly as you can, I mean, we have seen guys, have that streak. I mean, look at Fernando Pisani here, you know, in 06. Bickles had a couple of tremendous playoffs. Not to downplay his season, because you've watched him, but he's going to cash in. But how good do you really think he can be? He's a 30-point guy, and that's including 22 goals, so he can find the net, but how much more can there possibly be from him?
Well, he's really not a playmaker, as the assist total would suggest, and I think you make a good point, Robin, and if I were an NHL general manager, I would be asking myself those very questions if I were prepared to make an offer to Matt Bolesky. And unfair expectations sometimes can really hurt a player after he signs a big money free agent contract. Francois Beauchemin comes to mind. When he left the Ducks to sign with Toronto, went to a team that wasn't very good, and so much was expected of him because of the contract he'd signed, and things did not go well, and only when Bosch came back to Anaheim did his career get back on track. So I think it's something that a general manager has to be careful of, and we know they're not always wise come free agent time. It's also something, though, that a player needs to be careful of, because certainly we're no different. I mean, if somebody offered us tons of money, we'd be inclined to take it too. But sometimes maybe the wiser decision is to stay in a place where you know you can have success and you're not going to be burdened with the weight of the world.
Dan Wood joins us, analyst for the Anaheim Ducks. Dan, the last game was one of the more exciting games of the series, and that's saying something because they've had two double and triple overtime games, but this one, the Ducks come out storming. You talked about how you expect Chicago to do the same tonight, and then Chicago gets an early goal in the second, a late goal in the second, and now game on. And I think everybody in the building thought, okay, it's 4-2, here we go. And then all of a sudden, Jonathan Toews wakes up. Duck fans have to, do you sense that they're more behind or more involved in this playoff run than they were when they won the Cup in 2007? Just because, A, it's been a few years, and B, maybe there's more educated fans now than there was then. And just, this series alone has been one of the best I can remember.
Well, I would agree with that point for sure. I mean, I've covered a lot of playoff series, and I honestly don't know if I remember one as riveting as this one. As far as the fan base, that's a hard question to answer. I think the fact that it has been a while, the Kings have won a couple of Stanley Cups in the interim, certainly Ducks fans would love to level that score. They're pretty excited about this team, and justifiably so. It's been an incredibly fun team to watch all season, coming from behind to win 24 times, 18 of those in the third period, 6 times in the third period when they were down by 2 goals, and they've just carried that same thing forward in the playoffs, and you're right, that game 5 was incredibly exciting, but with the, I guess, exception of game 1, they all have been in this series, so it's kind of frightening to wonder what's next here tonight between these teams.
Well, I'm thinking a good plan might be to throw as many pucks as you can at Corey Crawford, get after them and see what happens.
Well, I would agree with you. I think Corey Crawford and Frederik Andersen both have given up 9 goals in the last 2 games, so neither has played his best hockey. The sad thing kind of from a Ducks perspective, I think, is full marks to Jonathan Toews. The guy is an absolute warrior, and what he did in the final 2 minutes of regulation in Game 5 was heroic. But that second goal, that's a fluke. I mean, that doesn't happen, you know, 998 times out of 1,000. Without that fluke, maybe the Hawks score the tying goal anyway, but maybe they don't, and all of these questions about Freddie Anderson aren't even being asked.
Well, Dan, it should be electric. Chicago in the regular season blows the doors off, so I can only imagine how loud it's going to be in there tonight for an elimination game for the Hawks. The Ducks, I guess, will have to strap in for the first 10 minutes, and if they can get by that, should be excellent.
I think you're absolutely right, Jason.